are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name's Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Monday, everybody. Hopefully you had a fantastic weekend. Today's episode of the Locked On Wolves podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes exactly like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. All right, so today we are going to continue our Timberwolves time machine. Today we are going to be back in 1995, which to the untrained eye or ear may not seem all that significant, but longtime Timberwolves fans know just how important the year 1995 was to the Wolves franchise. So we'll get into that here in a minute. Off the top, wanted to talk some quick NBA notes as the league is trying really hard to move towards restarting something of a regular season and playoffs. Of course, likely, as we've talked about before, not including the Timberwolves, but we'll get into that here in just a minute. Before we hit on the year 1995. First, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, so quick NBA news. We touched on this Friday, and again, don't want to get too much down this road, but I think it's important to acknowledge the role that the Minnesota Timberwolves as a franchise are trying to play, at least in the landscape related to the George Floyd tragedy that happened, I guess, a week ago today is when the actual incident took place, and the ensuing protests and, everything that's happened since then, from protests to the riots and the looting and some of the other things that are tangentially related to the meat of the issue, I think, most certainly. But we talked last week about Adrian Wojnarowski had posted an article on Thursday after speaking with Ryan Saunders, Timberwolves head coach Gerson Rosas, the president of basketball ops, and then also Malik Beasley was quoted in the ESPN article. And the team had had a Zoom call. They'd had a guest speaker who specializes in police and community relations. And the team, it sounded like, was doing their best to really support each other as humans, as players, understand each other's backgrounds. Obviously, Ryan Saunders coming from a very different background than many of the Wolves players. And the organization was trying to be there for the other, for not just the players, but also the coaches and the staff members, and trying to learn more about each other as well. It seemed as though things were going well in regards to that, at least according to Woj's article last week. Also over the weekend, Ryan Saunders appeared on a podcast over at ESPN. It was the ESPN Daily podcast, and talked about how he's learning, doing what he can to learn about racial issues. Remember, he's 34 and he grew up the son of an NBA coach. So clearly grew up around the game, but was also, as he said in the article, the Woj article, was essentially a suburban, a white kid in suburbia, and grew up with means and everything, and didn't necessarily understand the gravity of many of these racial issues until more recently. And so he is humbling himself and doing what he can to speak out in support of, as he says, his Black colleagues and communities of color. Talks about what he's learned related to racial tensions, racial issues, violence, policing, some of the issues that we've seen over many, many years, but especially over the past week here, it's just been magnified even more. So Saunders gave an interview on that podcast, talked about it. So go ahead and give that a listen, the ESPN Daily podcast. You can find it on the Timberwolves page at ESPN.com. They'll have a link there. And then also the issue was discussed a little bit on the Hoop Collective. We talked about a couple of the previous Brandon Windhorst Hoop Collective podcasts, but he had on Malika Andrews, Andrew Lopez, and Kevin Pelton to talk about how the NBA community has rallied around the cause related to all the events of the past week surrounding the George Floyd tragedy last week. And Windhorst podcast is typically a pretty good mix of news and analysis, and there's a little bit of Timberwolves and community, Minneapolis Twin Cities community mentions in there. So go ahead and give that a listen as well about this situation. It'll be interesting to see what the Wolves do moving forward. If there is, it seems unlikely at this point, we'll get into this in just a second, but unlikely that the Wolves will play any more games this season, but maybe even in a next season, depending on how everything kind of plays out in the next few days and weeks and months, if there will be any sort of recognition for George Floyd or any sort of anything that the team might do to kind of acknowledge the issue and support the team and the community as Minneapolis and the Twin Cities and Minnesota as a whole, and really our country, tries to heal. So definitely check out those podcasts as you continue to find those connections between the sports world and the Twin Cities community and the issues that are so prevalent in our country. The other thing I wanted to mention was, I guess there isn't really a good way to segue this, but back into the NBA restart notes. And it sounds like there's a Board of Governors vote this Thursday to discuss the potential restart to the season. There's a couple of proposals on the table that include, it sounds like there's a 16-team proposal that basically would just be the playoffs. There's some more serious proposals that I think there's a 20-team and maybe a 22-team or 20 and 24 or something like that, where basically there'd be a few games where some teams would have a shot at squeaking into the eighth seed of the playoffs, which seems like a pretty fair compromise to try and retain some of that local TV revenue for many of the markets. And then also have the ability to, you know, give some of those teams that were on the cusp of the playoffs, give them the opportunity to try and make the playoffs despite the tough situation that they were put in the hiatus. And it wouldn't really necessarily be fair to just cut off the teams that were only a game or two out of the playoff picture. So this at least gives them the option to be competitive. In no scenario, it doesn't sound like, the Timberwolves would be included, as they have the league's third worst record at the moment. And it doesn't sound likely that there's going to be much momentum to starting and allowing all teams to play a handful more games. Remember, the Wolves would need to play six more to get to that threshold of 70. And it also sounds like the 2020-21 season, there's a lot of momentum for that to start on Christmas Day, which is round about the time that seasons have started in the past, lockout seasons. You think about actually each of the last couple of times there's been a lockout. I guess the first time was well into the following calendar year, but the last time there was a lockout in 2011-12, I think it was Christmas 2011, thereabouts, that week that season restarted. So obviously this would be a full 82 game season for next year, most likely, but not starting until Christmas Day. There's some movement towards that as well. So we'll keep an eye on those negotiations this week and what that's going to look like. Even if the Wolves aren't directly involved, we'll certainly keep a pulse on it. And there undoubtedly will be more Timberwolves news, even if they're not playing games, as the players, I'm sure, will be back around and the Wolves will do some level of workouts or something like that, I would imagine. So there's a little bit of closure to the season versus the hiatus that they've been on now for some time. All right, let's go ahead and just jump right into 1995. I mean, there's a lot to talk about when it comes to the Timberwolves and the calendar year of 1995. Before we do that, though, I did want to mention, again, our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is quite literally the best tasting protein bar ever. I've been raving about my favorite flavors, the chocolate almond coconut, the chocolate mint brownie, and then I had the chocolate almond toffee over the weekend as well. That one's probably my third favorite. Those are my top three, hands down, no question. And they've been perfect for, you know, doing yard work, middle of the afternoon, need a snack, gives you a little bit of energy, and it tastes like you're eating a candy bar, which is also what you need when you're in the middle of a long day of work or yard work or whatever it is that you're up to. Built Bars are protein bars that taste exactly like candy bars. There's 16 amazing flavors, 8 chocolate nut flavors, and 8 chocolate nut-free flavors. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft, easy to chew. Built Bar is perfect if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose weight, if you're trying to maintain weight, while still indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are all low calorie, they're all low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. The flavor profile on the mint brownie, which again is solidly in my top three favorites at this point, 15 grams of protein, only 110 calories. For a mint brownie Built Bar that tastes, again, a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, only 4 grams of sugar, 5 grams net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. It's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, let's talk about 1995. 1995 was a huge year in Timberwolves history for reasons that should be pretty obvious, but if you're not aware, we'll get into it in just a second. This was also the year, just kind of some general 1995 fun trivia knowledge facts, if you will. Michael Jordan announced he was ending his retirement from the NBA after 17 months, and he came back to play the tail end of that season before then, of course, winning 3 consecutive championships after that. Also, Joe Montana retired from football that year. Other sports news, the San Francisco 49ers were the Super Bowl champs, the Atlanta Braves won the World Series, and the New Jersey Devils won the Stanley Cup. This was the Houston Rockets' second title while Michael Jordan was on hiatus. Remember that he joined the Bulls in the playoffs that year, and they did not. I think they made it to the second round before losing. The most popular movie was Toy Story, which does not feel like it should have been that long ago, but I guess the fourth one just came out. So I don't know, maybe that's why. The Rainmaker was the most popular fiction book. ER on NBC was the top TV show. Forrest Gump won the Oscar for Best Picture. Jessica Lange in Blue Sky won an Oscar for Best Actress, and Tom Hanks won an Oscar for Best Actor in Forrest Gump. pop music that year. The top artists were Backstreet Boys, Coolio, Janet Jackson, Madonna, Mariah Carey, Michael Jackson, Vanessa Williams. Gallon of gas averaged only $1.15 that year. A loaf of bread was 99 cents. A dozen eggs, $1.16. Bananas were 3 pounds for a dollar. I don't have much of a good handle on that. I guess, what is it now? What's the price usually per pound? I have no idea if that's good or bad. It seems like it was probably a little bit lower. But at any rate, that was the year 1995. So for those of you who remember it very well, I was not very old myself. In fact, my earliest Timberwolves memories are probably 96-97 season, actually, not as much 95-96. But anyways, that was the year 95 in a nutshell, I guess. In terms of the Timberwolves, they coming into the 94-95 season, so Sidney Lowe was the coach in 93-94. He won just 20 games. 94-95, Bill Blair was the head coach. They won only 21 games. They improved by exactly one game from 93-94 to 94-95. You look at the top producers on that team, they were led in scoring by J.R. Ryder. Isaiah Ryder had scored just over 20 points a game, only 3.3 rebounds and 3.3 assists, shot 35% from three. He was the leading scorer on the team. The best player was probably Christian Laettner or Tom Gugliotta. Ryder wasn't the most efficient player, although his three-point shooting mark isn't awful, but he did shoot just under 45% from the field and wasn't a great defender. Christian Laettner averaged 16.5, and this was his third season in the league and his final full season in a Timberwolves uniform. But Laettner was probably the best player on this team all around, at least in terms of guys who'd been on the team all season long. Tom Gugliotta was acquired at the trade deadline, only played 31 games for this team, was very good after the Wolves acquired him, but that was a straight one-for-one swap with the Warriors for Donyell Marshall going from Minnesota to Golden State. And Googs averaged 14.4 points, 7.2 rebounds, 4.5 assists, shot 45.4% from the floor, and was really good over the final 31 games. Ultimately, was a really important running mate for Kevin Garnett and eventually Steph Marbury for those Wolves teams in the mid to late 90s. But this was his first taste in Minnesota. So Laettner was the best start to finish player on this team. Ryder was the leading scorer. Doug West was on the back half of his prime at this point, averaged only 13 points a game. And wasn't quite the player he had been a couple years earlier. But those were the best players on a 21-win team. Following the season, the Timberwolves bring in, Kevin McHale brings in Flip Saunders. Taylor hires Kevin McHale to be the president of basketball ops. He hires Flip Saunders to be his GM. And Bill Blair is still the coach following the 21-win season. So in May, if Saunders hired in May, they have essentially a little over a month to decide who they're going to draft. And they're, of course, going to have a high lottery pick. And most of the pre-draft workouts, it wasn't necessarily officially the combine at the time, but it was all taking place in Chicago. And you may have heard this story before, but there's a really good Sports Illustrated story. It was a cover story from 1999 that they reposted a few years ago when Garnett came back to the Timberwolves. So I guess now 5 years ago, but I went back and read that, and it was a lot of fun reminders in there about what went on that offseason and what went on that May when they were scouting Kevin Garnett. But at the time, Garnett hired an agent right before his workouts for the draft. And the agent that he hired was Eric Fleischer. And Fleischer had decided to, or didn't want Garnett to take place in the regular workouts. He'd seen him work out. He had had him work out once and didn't think that it was a great workout, you know, doing the sorts of drills that coaches and execs make you do. He had him play pickup, thought he looked great. So he decided to, he also was worried about teams drafting a high schooler late in the first round, early in the second round as a flyer, and felt that Garnett's talent should make him a higher pick. The only reason he wouldn't be is some uncertainty, of course, drafting a high schooler, which hadn't been done in many, many years at that point. It was not seen as a realistic option. And so Fleischer decided to hold a private workout and only invite the lottery teams. There were only 13 teams involved that were there. Elgin Baylor was there, you know, a few of these other kind of legendary players who were representing different teams. And the Wolves were represented by McHale and Saunders. And the draft, you know, apparently the workout started out kind of rough, but then, you know, they kept asking him to touch the square on the back of the backboard and or on the backboard, the box above the rim. And Garnett was doing all these different things and these crazy drills that they were requesting from him. And then afterwards, McHale and Saunders knew immediately that that's who they wanted to draft. And there's a funny quote in there. I think it was from McHale who said, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, we looked at each other and said, we're going to take a high school kid. And if we mess this up, if we're wrong, we can just say it was our first draft and we didn't know what we were doing. So it was nice to know that they thought they had the job security in their first year to go ahead and make that risk. And they did. They drafted Kevin Garnett in 1995, fifth overall. And again, likely he would have been a late first round or early second round pick if not for that workout orchestrated by Fleischer. And the Wolves start the year 6-14 with Garnett coming off the bench under Bill Blair. They fire Bill Blair in mid-December. Saunders becomes the head coach on December 18th after the 6-14 start. The team had gone 20-42 then under Flip for the rest of the season. So they finished the year with 26 wins. Garnett became a starter shortly after Saunders became head coach. And the story, again told in the Sports Illustrated article, Sam Mitchell had been the starter. He was brought in along with Terry Porter to be kind of veteran players to help along these young players. And ultimately, Garnett becomes the starter when Sam Mitchell goes to Flip Saunders and says, hey, look, he's better than me. Make him the starter. And so that's what happened. Kevin Garnett became the starter from that point forward. And in some ways, the rest is history. And actually, what I want to do is next up, I want to hit a couple of the fun box scores from that rookie season for Garnett. His first start after he became a permanent starter, his high scoring game, some of the kind of the high points of that season could be really fun to look at. So we're going to do that next. Before we get into that, wanted to talk again about Blinkist. Let me tell you about one of the ultimate life hacks. It's hard to find the time to sit down to read and learn more. When you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There's an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for busy people just like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestsellers lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read, but never had time to. I like Blinkist because there's a wide variety of books that I really enjoy, things that fit perfectly in that 15 minutes commute, the 15 minutes, or maybe like my commute, it's two segments of 15 minutes. I can listen to two books on the way to work, two books on the way from, or the way home. I mentioned this before, but The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss is a fantastic book. That's one of the popular books on this on Blinkist because it fits right in line with the smart business people who use Blinkist who want to get as much information as they can in a short amount of time. And that's exactly what The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss is all about. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA, try it free for 7 days, and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. I thought it would be fun to take a look at the box scores from a few of Kevin Garnett's best games or most notable games, I guess, as a rookie. Again, a 19-year-old out of high school and was making history for the Timberwolves in the 95-96 season. He turned 20 right after this season, so he was 19 for the whole season. And he started the year coming off the bench, as we talked about last segment, playing for Bill Blair, and never started a game under Bill Blair. Basically through mid-December, so the first 20 games of the season, he only scored in double figures two times. He had 19-8 in his sixth game as a pro in a loss to the San Antonio Spurs. Had 19-8 in 28 minutes, shot 7-15 from the floor. He had another double-figure scoring game in the final game under Bill Blair. He scored 12 points, had 5 rebounds. Blair was fired. Garnett becomes a starter. He starts one game in mid-January. He has 9-6 in 22 minutes as a starter. That's the first game he ever started. So really not all that notable. It was a spot start. I would imagine there was an injury of some sort that led to him starting in that game. But he started alongside Tom Gugliotta, Christian Laettner. So this is Isaiah Ryder, Terry Porter in the starting lineup. Sam Mitchell comes off the bench. And in that particular game, the Wolves lose to Lakers by only two. Lakers were a 500-ish team that year. Leitner scores 29 and has 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals in this game. Ryder has 23 points. Porter has 10 and 10. Gugliotta has 22. Garnett starts and only has 9 and 6 in his first career start. And then he goes back to coming off the bench for the next 6 games, comes back next 6 games, comes back, starts the game on January 30th, and he never would not start another game in the rest of his Timberwolves career. Starts on January 30th, 1996, has only 4 points, but has 11 rebounds in 35 minutes of his first career start. So only 4 points, 2 of 6 shooting. He somehow only attempted 6 shots in 35 minutes. That's where his role was in the pecking order of this not exactly formidable 95-96 Minnesota Timberwolves team. And he doesn't score in double figures as a starter until his third game as a starter. And then his fourth game, he only scores 2 points. And then from that point on, he would only score in single figures 2 times the rest of the season, and became an offensive force very quickly in the NBA. Going back to his first start when he became a permanent starter, when he only had 4-11, that was a loss to the Denver Nuggets. Again, only a 2-point loss to a not great Denver Nuggets team that had Dikembe Mutombo, Antonio McDyess, future Timberwolf LaPhonso Ellis coming off the bench, Jalen Rose coming off the bench. Garnett had only 4 points in this game, 11 rebounds. Isaiah Ryder led the team with 25 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Christian Leitner had 18, 9, and 5. Tom Gugliotta had 18 and 8 in this game. And off the bench, Sam Mitchell had 13 points. Derek Martin was the backup point guard. Of course, he then became the backup point guard in more of an emergency fashion in 2004 after Sam Cassell's injury during the 03-04 season. But at the time, was back on the Garnett inaugural season, the Garnett rookie season, Minnesota Timberwolves. Later in the year, there were a couple of high points for Garnett. His season high, and of course, to that point, his career high was 33 points in a loss to the Boston Celtics at Target Center. They lost by 5. He had 33, 8, and 4 in this game. And this was a Boston Celtics team that also was not very good. They ended with only a slightly better record than the Timberwolves that year. And this is a Celtics team that featured not a lot of household names. David Wesley was in the starting lineup, Rick Fox, Greg Minor, Dee Brown coming off the bench. And the Timberwolves got 33 from Garnett, 8 rebounds. They got 29, 7 assists from Isaiah Ryder, 21, 13, and 6 from Tom Gugliotta in this particular game. Spud Webb was in the starting lineup. This was post the Christian Leitner trade, so no more Christian Leitner, and that freed up a lot of opportunity for Kevin Garnett on the offensive end of the floor, and we started to see that come through in this game. Gugliotta, Garnett, and Ryder each played more than 40 minutes in that game. Sam Mitchell came off the bench. Terry Porter came off the bench at this point in the season. And the Timberwolves really became a better team in the second half of the year. They ended the year on a 6-game losing streak, but before that had been kind of playing 500 ball for a 2 or 3 week span following almost a month following the trade deadline. And after getting blown out quite a bit at the end of February, they kind of pulled it together and were a competitive team the rest of the season. Garnett ultimately had a really successful rookie year and averaged 10.4 points, 6.3 rebounds, despite not starting until midway through the season, averaged just under 29 minutes a game. And then by year two, was already an all-star as a 20-year-old. He played his entire 96-97 season, his sophomore year in the NBA, as a 20-year-old, and jumped his scoring average by 6.5 points to 17 points even, jumped his rebounding by 1.7 per game to 8 rebounds a game. And only 2 years after that, he was averaging a double-double in the lockout year, and the Timberwolves were a perennial playoff contender. So 95 was clearly a vital year in the history of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Flip Saunders becomes head coach midway through the season. Garnett is drafted in 95, and there's kind of this shift towards the Wolves putting the Wolves on the NBA map. Not that they became a perennial contender or anything like that, but they were in the playoffs year after year after year after year after having not made the playoffs in the first 7 years of the franchise's existence. So just a huge year in the history of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and Kevin Garnett had everything to do with that. All right, next up, we are going to talk 2005. So kind of the start of the bad ending of Garnett's time in Minnesota, but still a really kind of a loaded period of time. There's a lot of symmetry here talking about Saunders being hired in 95, and we'll talk about his dismissal just prior to the 2000 just prior to 2005, actually as part of the 04-05 season, will be part of the next conversation we have as part of the Time Machine series. So we'll get into that on the next podcast of the week here at Locked On Wolves. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Wolves. A final special thanks to our friends at Built Bar for bringing us today's episode. Visit builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first order. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.